It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like...
When Pastor Andy comes up to start off with the word, there's usually some really cool music, and that fits for him. But I just thought that was a little more appropriate for someone quite like myself. So, good morning. My name is Ken. I'm the pastor who's soon to be a grandpa of the LifePoint Church. So we're expecting our first grandchild fairly soon. I do want to thank you and wish you a good morning again. And also, as Pastor Roger shared before he began a couple of weeks ago, I want to thank Pastor Andy for the opportunity to speak this morning. That is not a small thing, incidentally. For pastors, I guess like a lot of people, you kind of have your territory, and it's not easy to let that go. So we really appreciate his kindness in doing that. And also, thank you for your kindness in coming out and joining us this morning. Some of you are new friends, and some of you I've known for a long time, since I was young and you were younger, and we just appreciate your coming. This morning, I'd like you to focus with me a little bit on God and His wonders. Now, saying something like that, that's a very big topic, a very big area. Some of you may be a little nervous and think He's going to be here all day long, but that won't be the case. We're just, there is 100 ways we could approach it, but we're just going to mention 4 this morning. And these are not listed in the scripture that we're going to reflect on, but you can see them very alive in the passage that we'll be sharing. Now, this morning, since I came to this city years back, I've enjoyed the friendship of Reverend David Holdcraft, and he's going to come and share and read the scripture verses. They're taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8. If you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to do that. After Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find the book of Acts, chapter 8. Don't you wish you had that video of what he just read? The wonder of God was everywhere in that experience. But honestly, the wonder of God is seen everywhere, every day. It's just extremely clear in a passage like that. There's 4 different ways that I wanted to look at his wonder this morning. And the first is the wonder of God's love for each person. The Lord made us, and he knows us, and he still loves us. And that is something, because we don't deserve the love that God has for us. We really don't. I mean, we're a mess. In a lot of ways. This world, people, I mean, have you watched CNN lately and all of the things going on? You know, it's messy. There's no question that none of us are worthy of it, and yet this man was no different than that. This man from Ethiopia was a sinner just like us, and he was just one man. You know, God has a lot of things going on in this world, and yet he was concerned about the desire of this one man and his heart and his desire to know. This man was not even part of the Jews, who in the Old Testament was God's chosen people. And at this point, he wasn't a Christian, not yet. But God cared for his concern. And just like he cares for the burdens of your heart and mine, then God was there and God answered. He doesn't always answer the way we want. He doesn't usually answer in the time that we want. But his love and his concern is never changing. He's always with us and never wavers. Secondly, there's the idea that I'm impressed by the wonder of God's actions. You know, how God does things and the steps that he takes just to get something accomplished for someone, for the people that he cares for. God's actions are seen in how the Lord has worked for our benefit. You know, that passage in Isaiah, that was a powerful passage that the man read. About what God was going to do. It talked about how God was going to offer himself as a lamb before his accusers. When you think about the time of the cross, God could have called on the angels to come and stop the whole thing, or he could have just frozen time and just walked away. But the ancient prophet said that instead of that, the Creator went to the cross. God humbled himself, and he went as a lamb dying for your sin and for mine. He made the effort. He did the sacrificing because of us and for us. The apostle wrote to the church at Rome, "Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still messed up, Christ died for us." Now, I shared a story with some of you before about a boy who made a sailboat. Now, he went and he got a kit and he made it and he decorated it. And he just, you know, when you really invest yourself in something, you really care about that. And that boat was really important to him. He not only wanted to make it so he could admire it, but he also wanted to play with it. You know, he was a kid. He wanted to play with it. So one day he went and it had just rained a lot the night before, so he took the boat and put it in the creek. But the water, of course, was moving kind of fast, and the boat started moving kind of fast. It went faster than he could go, and he just watched that boat, that prize, sail out of sight, and he thought it was gone. But then, after being sad for a number of days, he was walking by a little store, and in the window, he saw the boat. He got rather excited, as you'd imagine. He ran inside, and he saw the owner of the store, and he said, "That's my boat." And the owner of the store said what you would expect. He said, "That's my boat. You know," he says, "I got it, and it's got a price tag on it. If you want it, you got to come up with the money." Well, the boy didn't have the money, but what the boy did was he went to work, and he started calling people saying, "You know, can I cut your grass? Can I work for you?" And he worked, and he saved, and he got the money together fairly quickly, and then he went to the store. And he bought the boat. He paid the price. And after he did that, he was walking back, and he was kind of talking to this prized possession, and he said, "Now you're twice mine, once because I made you, and once because I bought you." And that is what the Lord did for us. We're twice his. We read back in the book of Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth. But we also know that when we were lost, when we were gone, when we had no way of being restored from our own efforts, Christ went to the cross and he paid the price and he bought us once again. It's the wonder of his actions. In addition to that, there's the wonder of God's creativity. When you look around and you realize that the Lord could have made the world black and white, he could have made one kind of tree and two kinds of fish and left it at that, but he was so amazingly creative. Now, God had a reason, when you think of this scriptural account, he had a reason why he wanted to reach the people of Ethiopia. And I look at this idea, and here what the Lord does when he wants to reach the people of Ethiopia is he has one of the prime people from there go up to Jerusalem, up to Israel, and then he has him reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah on the way back, and it's probably in Hebrew, so he has to find someone that speaks Hebrew from there, and he goes and does that, and then while he's reading, the Lord sends a prophet over so that he could stop him along the road. And he just does all of this stuff, really kind of creative, so that he could reach these people. And incidentally, in that part of the world, the one nation that is really a Christian nation is Ethiopia, still today. Honestly, as I think of a good example of God's creativity, I think of what has happened here. I'd like to tell you that I've had 11 or 12 good years in Louisville. And some of you will say, "Wait, I thought you were here almost 18 years." I have been. And at least 11 of them have been pretty good. And several of them were okay, and a few of them you don't really want to talk about. I'm very aware of the many, many mistakes that I've made in that time. And God and you people have been kind and forgiving, which I appreciate. There's times when I've been guilty of disobedience and times when I've been guilty of delayed obedience, which is kind of the same thing, as the Lord urged me to walk forward. The year 2005 was the year of the Exodus. That's what I called it. Not a good year. The average attendance at the beginning of the summer was about 90 people. That was down just a little bit from what it had been, but about 90 people. But some of the people were not satisfied, And one person chose to send a negative email or letter to everyone in the church. And in that letter, he basically said the church was as good as dead. And I confess to wishing that the Lord would send large birds to make deposit on his car. As a result of several things, including the letter, by late summer, we had about 50 people. We had a total of 2 children remaining in the church, and there was actually rumors going around that the church had already closed, and some people probably thought that was going to happen. But the Lord was already impressing us that we were to move forward from basically a mostly white, all-American congregation to open our doors and to be intentionally welcoming to all peoples of all different nations. They were all coming here. And we prayed for missionaries out there, and here the people were coming here. So in spite of my slips and faults, the one who knows all things began to faithfully move and to bring fruit to this new season in the life of the church. And since that time, we've done some building updates with new windows, new roof. Funds became available for furnace and plumbing updates, new kitchen and playground. As far as education, we've hosted something for several years called the Kingdom School. About 50 people took part in that over several years. We had I Sing America, that was a voice and recital type of performance school for kids, and about 100 people took part in that over the years, and we were privileged to open up 3 homeschools. Not that we did it, but it was here. And God blessed that, and I'd estimated it at one point that there was about 500 children that came through at one point or the other through the homeschools. A few of you are here today, and I remember you when I was taller than you. It's a long time ago. God allowed us to be a part of planting 3 different churches and in helping facilitate the growth of 6 other churches, ministering to a total of about 600 people. As many as 8 nations worshiped on this property at any one day. That's pretty neat. That doesn't happen all the time. We used to say that the United Nations could learn a lot if they would just visit us. You know, they would see things. International children and youth ministries have been touched and blessed, and on a given Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, maybe 100 kids, 150 will be here, touching lives through citizenship classes, legal aid to those in need, offering clothing, offering food, shelter, other things we've been able to do. We were able to teach English as a second language. We had soccer outreaches that sometimes we'd have 40 or 50 guys coming and playing what was the passion of their heart. We opened the doors for our community to vote, and if you happen to be available on voting day, we like to have both cookies and treats as well as offer literature to people coming in, and I don't know how many people will be coming in from the community, and of course we have special cooperation through the YMCA and with St. Vincent de Paul. Over the years, these grounds also saw about 50 different marriages take place. We got another one coming up tonight. We had about 75 baptisms and twice that number of people that wanted to ask Christ to forgive their sins and cleanse them and make them whole, where they wanted the Holy Spirit to fill their lives and step forward in that way. And you tie it all up, and there was also about a $500,000 that was given to overseas missions work through the church. It's not bad for a church that was about to close. We also helped with the financing of an Alliance church in Lexington, Kentucky, and there were several seminary graduates that had the privilege of, and I trust enjoyed, starting their ministry on this campus, including one very good-looking Brazilian family who's traveling today, and we were the sending body for one man who entered into the pastoral ministry, and for a precious lady named Michelle that is one of the Alliance's main missionaries in an area of the world used to be the Soviet Union. There was countless hours of prayer given for missions as well as for local needs. And we had a group, one or two still with us, that I used to call the mountain movers because basically when they prayed, things happened. A lot of good things. And the Lord could have accomplished this in all different ways, but how wondrously creative he is that he chose to come to this corner of Kentucky and exhibit his creativity in and through us. It's been a remarkable thing. And then finally, I did want to say, we have to admire the wonder of God's change. And I'm not saying God changes, I'm saying that God changes things. Following God is never a stagnant thing. There are as many variables as there are people. And yet God somehow takes all of this stuff and he adjusts and he amends and he moves forward. And he just does that. The master never changes the principles. He never changes, loses sight of the goal that he has and what he wants to accomplish through a people and in a community. He never changes that. But following God will always involve change. The Lord knows that we can't grow and stay the same. So if we are going to grow, if we are going to do things, new things, then change will be a part of it. Did you notice in the scripture that Philip was there for that great moment, opened the eyes of that man to the truth of who Christ was, saw him get baptized, and then Philip was gone. And he was just gone. The Lord did not ask his permission. The Lord didn't say, hey, let's come aside. I got this idea. I want to dialogue a little with you. Lord just caught him up, and the man was moved. And I feel something like that, if you catch the connection. I love the bride of Christ, and certainly Christ loves his bride as well. He not only gave himself for her, but he continues to show his love for her in all different ways and wants to show it through creative action that he continues to do. But change is a part of that. And change is difficult, and change is uncomfortable, but at times it's necessary. But even in the midst of that, even in the middle of those hard and challenging times, God is true. He is. So did you see the response of the man who was baptized? It says that after he was baptized, Philip was gone, and he could have said, well, no, you're my teacher. You're the one I've went, you're the one who opened the doors here. But it says instead that the man continued on with joy. And he did that because Philip was gone, but God was not. And God was there, and he's going to continue to be there. And we can trust him. Amen? Amen. There's a classic song that sums up a lot of this. And though it's unusual, I thought it might be kind of fun. Some of you know it. If you just want to sing the first verse with me, if you'd be kind enough to do that. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. All right, so join with me.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have